the medicine of Imam Ridha alayhi salam, as far as eating and drinking and things like that. Here Imam Ridha, peace be upon him, talks about how important it is for there to be vegetables with the food. So when you're eating, and you're eating as a group, and you're eating with others, always make sure that there are vegetables and greens with the food. He says, خَضِّرُوا مَوَائِدَكُمْ بِالْبَقْلِ فَإِنَّهُ مَطْرَدَةٌ لِلشَّيْطَانِ مَعَ الْتَسْمِيَةِ. Make sure that you put greens with your table spread, with your ma'ida, because they are ways of expelling shaitan, along with you saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Another hadith from Imam Ridha, peace be upon him, where he says, Ya ghulam, O son, Ama alimta anni la akul ala ma'idatin laysa alayha khadra. Do you not know that I don't eat from a table spread that doesn't have vegetables and greens on it? فأتي بها, so bring something, bring them. قال فذهب وأتى بالبقلي فمد يده فأكل وأكلت معه. So then the person went and got some, and then Imam Ridha alayhi salam ate, started to eat, and I started eating with him. You know, just remember what we were talking about as far as, you know, this whole issue of مَعَ الْتَسْمِيَةِ and saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim and مَائِدَةُ الطَّعَامِ and all these other good things as far as the issue of health is concerned. All of this is related and intertwined to it as far as your qalb is concerned, as far as your heart is concerned, and everything else. وَالْحَمْدُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَالصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَىٰ سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدُ وَآلِهِ الطَّاهِرِينَ.
Driving past, walking fast to the field of dreams, hear the children scream.
There was The Keys of Life by Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
Every corner represents a different image in my mind, a momentary emotion, space spent in time, in time. Memories fade like a dusty window pane, and you can't see your past no more. The only thing that remains is that feeling of warmth in your heart that will always be there, be there.
Around the world with reporters.
The International Atomic Energy Agency's 35-nation Board of Governors convenes a virtual meeting with reports that Britain, France, and Germany are circulating a draft resolution to criticize Iran for restricting agency access. IAEA Director General Rafael Mariano Grossi reached a temporary bilateral understanding with Iran over a week ago, allowing the agency to continue verification work in the country for up to 90 days. Grossi said the understanding was meant to provide a window of opportunity for political talks to get underway amid attempts to revive the nuclear deal between Iran and world powers, known formally as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the JCPOA. The possibility of a board resolution, however, is further complicating the situation. Grossi appealed for constructive discussions that would preserve the work of the agency.
The inspection work of the IAEA must be preserved. The inspection work of the IAEA should not be put in the middle of a negotiating table as a bargaining chip.
Iran has warned of countermeasures if the board passes the resolution and says it's cooperating with the agency over questions about the presence of uranium particles at two undeclared sites. Grossi reiterated the IAEA would remain impartial, avoid judging intentions, or issuing condemnations.
The work and the trust must always exist. And when we have doubts, we ask questions. We are not condemning anybody.
It's still unclear if the board will adopt the Western-backed resolution, but Russia has already made it clear it will oppose it. In a note to other board members, Russia warned that the adoption of the resolution would hugely complicate efforts to revive the nuclear deal and undermine normal cooperation between Iran and the agency. Homolezgi, Vienna.
Among other things, the past year felt like a long one, featuring several announcements from British Chancellor Rishi Sunak. From massive spending to protect jobs.
Today we've announced £4.6 billion of additional help.
To the so-called Eat Out to Help Out scheme, and to what's known as the stamp duty holiday to help homebuyers. Since he was unexpectedly made Chancellor in February last year, Mr. Sunak has only made one formal fiscal statement. But on the 3rd of March, the young Chancellor will unveil his very difficult second budget, originally expected November last year, but postponed because of the uncertainty created by the raging pandemic and the possibility of a no-deal Brexit. But has that fog of uncertainty cleared now that they have a Brexit deal?
The biggest trade deal yet.
And the vaccination program is at full blast. Not exactly. The pandemic is still very much here, meaning serious restrictions will remain in place till at least midsummer. So given that lingering uncertainty, what does the UK public anticipate from Mr. Sunak's announcement? One expectation is an extension to the £20 a week increase in the government handout to the poor, benefiting some 6 million families due to end in March.
Yeah, a lot of people I know who actually sort of, that is all they're earning at the moment, is literally their less than £400 a month. Yeah, it's definitely vital for them.
People are on it for a reason, you know. I know a nurse who's working 5 days a week and still has to be on universal credit.
There will probably also be an extension of the furlough scheme due to end in April. The UK's jobless rate rose to over 5% in the 3 months to December, leaving unemployment at 1.7 million.
It's hard to think that you're going to be able to find a lot of jobs for people right now, but they're coming back at some point, hopefully. But in the meantime, I mean, people have to get by somehow. People need money to buy food. People need money to just survive.
There are lots of people all over the country who don't have any income or have significantly reduced income because of the pandemic and the crisis.
Also expected, an extension of the various tax breaks help to educate children whose schooling has been so badly disrupted, or for the health service to cope with its long backlog of non-COVID waiting lists. And then there's the question of tax rises. The Chancellor has dropped many hints that tax rises are inevitable. Hikes in corporation tax, capital gains tax, carbon pollution taxes, and a new online sales levy are all under consideration.
Economists are unanimously warning the Chancellor to hold off imposing any new tax hikes, saying they will merely damage the economy. But will he heed that advice? And how will it impact the lives of millions of people around the country if he chooses to ignore it? Saeed Puruza, London.
Prisoners' rights activists and families of Palestinian prisoners in Israeli prisons held a sit-in inside the office of the International Committee of the Red Cross in Gaza. They protested to drum up support for thousands of Palestinian prisoners and demanded an end to Israel's inhumane treatment of Palestinian political prisoners. Some 5,000 Palestinian prisoners are held in 24 Israeli prisons and detention centers.
Israel has demonstrated zero accountability and acts with impunity because it enjoys the full support of the United States. Israel considers itself as an entity that is above international law. Israel must be held accountable for its crimes against the Palestinian people, especially against Palestinian prisoners.
Palestinian prisoners see no end in sight to their suffering, as around 400 of them are being held without charge or trial under the so-called administrative detention, where incarceration periods can be renewed indefinitely.
Palestinian prisoners are suffering because of medical negligence as well as administrative detention in Israeli prisons, and their situation became much worse during the coronavirus pandemic. We call on international organizations to exert real pressure on Israel in order to stop its illegal and inhumane practices against Palestinian prisoners.
Many Palestinian prisoners also suffer from chronic illnesses and are denied proper medical treatment by Israel's prison service, who runs Israeli prisons. Dozens of prisoners suffer from cancer and other life-threatening diseases.
The suffering of Palestinian inmates in Israeli prisons is unprecedented. They're being oppressed on a daily basis, and the Israeli regime is systematically killing the prisoners by denying them proper medical care. We're here today to let the whole world know that we're standing with the prisoners.
Palestinian inmates are more vulnerable now with the absence of vital preventive measures during the coronavirus pandemic.
Experts say that the protection Israel enjoys from some countries like the United States gives it the green light to continue to violate the rights of Palestinian prisoners. Ashraf Shanan, Gaza.
The Iran's defense ministry has delivered 9 military and transportation planes, 10 choppers, and tens of engines repaired at Iran Aviation Industries Organization to the Iranian Armed Forces. Iranian specialists have overhauled 9 jet fighters, including F-4, F-14, F-27, and Mirage types, as well as transportation types of planes, including C-130, 707, and 747. The types of the 10 overhauled helicopters range from 204 and 205 to 212 and 214, which have applications in combat and rescue operations. The engines overhauled include turbojet, turbofan, and turboshaft types.
The enemy was in vain efforts to defeat Iran through sanctions and restrictions on buying military equipment. But the country conquered the enemy by reliance on indigenous capability, building military equipment, and optimizing defense equipment. Iran's successful strategy has defeated the enemy's maximum pressure policy.
Iran has utilized capacities of domestic knowledge-based companies in overhauling and repairing the helicopters and planes.
The Air Force of the Islamic Republic of Iran is a dynamic, innovative, and self-sufficient sector, which is completely reliable for operational purposes. The delivery of several planes and helicopters to the force indicates the creativity of our experts with which we have optimized and upgraded our equipment. We will defend our country's borders under all conditions in the best way.
In recent years, Iran has made great strides in the defense sector and become self-sufficient in producing essential military hardware and defense systems. Iran has repeatedly made it clear that its military might is merely defensive and that it poses no threat to other countries.
Iran says at a time of sanctions, overhauling light, semi-heavy, and heavy military equipment is the most cost-effective and safest way to boost the country's defensive capabilities. Saman Kujuri, Tehran.
One year has passed from a meeting in the Qatari capital, Doha, where the U.S. and Taliban representatives inked a deal to put an end to decades-long misery of the Afghan nation by reaching an agreement to bring peace to the war-ravaged country.
The release of 5,000 Taliban inmates, the withdrawal of foreign troops, and the Taliban's approval of a ceasefire were the main parts of the U.S.-Taliban deal. The prisoners were released, but the other two commitments have not been fulfilled yet.
Soon after the U.S.-Taliban deal was signed, the first round of intra-Afghan talks kicked off in Doha. This once again ruined the dreams of Afghans as it failed to bring peace. Now, Afghan officials not only warn the Taliban to either approve a lasting peace or get ready to be killed by Afghan armed troops, but blame the international community for depriving Afghans of their fundamental right, that is peace.
The international community has deprived a great nation, which has a great history and bright civilization, of one of their fundamental rights, that is peace. This is unacceptable. We want a lasting peace that should be achieved via our armed troops' power and will of the nation.
The Afghan peace process is facing some key obstacles, including foreign interference. But the bitter fact is that the main victims of war are innocent civilians. Based on an annual report by Afghanistan's Independent Human Rights Commission on humanitarian conditions for Afghan children, nearly 6,000 civilians, including more than 2,000 children, were killed in 2020 due to war and violence in Afghanistan.
The total number of civilian casualties recorded by Independent Human Rights Commission over the last year is 5,800. 2,019 of them are children. That is why we want all warring sides to pay respect to civilian lives.
Let's not forget that the new U.S. administration has announced Washington is going to review the U.S. Taliban deal. The declaration was welcomed by the Afghan government, but the Taliban urgently reacted and blamed the U.S. for seeking a pretext to stay in Afghanistan farther. Sayed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
The Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela might be about to break relations with the Kingdom of Spain after Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro announced he would review relations of all kinds with the European country due to what he calls their improper and disrespectful actions against Venezuela. Experts say that Spain, among members of the European Union, is regarded as the most important influence in the European policy toward the nations of Latin America. In the light of rising political tensions between Caracas and Madrid, Maduro denounced recent hostile actions from the Spanish government of Pedro Sanchez, including the Spanish Foreign Minister Arancha Gonzalez, who last Saturday visited the border between Colombia and Venezuela and criticized the situation of Venezuelan migrants in the zone. The visit by the top Spaniard diplomat in Colombia was strongly decried by Maduro, saying that Spain must stay away from his country's internal issues.
I condemn Spain's meddling actions. Such a mistaken conduct will be punished by my administration.
Meanwhile, on the opposition side, many back the Spanish move, alleging the European country must intervene in Venezuela's problems.
Spain's speaking in favor of Venezuelan migrants who flee our homeland due to Maduro's failed regime.
However, Venezuelan officials insist the Spanish move is politically motivated and therefore will not be tolerated.
Spain and the European Union must rectify their hostile political stance on Venezuela, or else relations will break up.
Maduro has remarked that relations with Spain in all areas will be fully examined by him, as the Spanish meddling in Venezuela's affairs is unacceptable. He blames Madrid over imitating the U.S. hostility and claims Venezuela will respond accordingly.
Lab rats have always been used as guinea pigs for testing brand new medicine. But when it comes to the coronavirus, the story is different. Mice cannot be infected with the coronavirus, since they do not have the receptor that hosts the virus. To scientists, however, there's always a way. Iran's Royan Institute, which specializes in biomedical and stem cell research, has created transgenic mice with a human receptor on their cells. The receptor, called ACE2, is the one that the coronavirus uses to make its way into human cells. This means the genetically modified mice can now catch the virus.
We transferred a human version of this receptor called ACE2 to the mice. And now our transgenic mice can basically get the virus, can get the disease, COVID-19, and they are a good model for the basically studies that aim to investigate the drugs, medical procedures.
The transgenic mice can be used to understand unexpected clinical manifestations of the coronavirus infection in humans.
It will be useful for those aspects of COVID-19, which are basically more or less unknown right now. And we hope that it will uncover more details about the disease process itself. And also, it will be useful for other possible new types of coronavirus, which may appear in future years.
Experts at Royan Institute say the mice can also be used as a viable stand-in for humans in testing potential vaccines and therapeutics.
Basically, any types of vaccine which is proposed for this specific disease can be used on these mice. So we are providing these mice for other researchers in the country to use it before they try it on human, and they can get more information from the mice, because you can easily dissect mice and see what's happening inside the bodies, the organs. You can't do that with human, right?
Royan Institute is currently developing its own COVID vaccine. The preclinical stages will involve testing the vaccine under genetically modified mice. Royan's vaccine is one of the 8 jabs Iran is developing. 2 of them have so far made their way to the human trial phase.
Since the virus struck in Iran, Royan Institute has stepped in to join the fight against COVID-19 by mass-producing test kits. And now that its vaccine is lagging behind in the race with its domestic rivals, the leading biotech firm says lab results show that the vaccine is a promising candidate. It will soon enter the animal trial phase. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
The U.S. has finally released a long-awaited report on the gruesome murder of Jamal Khashoggi, confirming that the Crown Prince had personally approved an operation to capture or kill him. Accordingly, the U.S. says it has imposed sanctions against Saudi Arabia over the murder. However, Washington's restrictions only target members of the Saudi Royal Guard's Rapid Intervention Force, not their patron and commander, Mohammed bin Salman. That once again exposes Washington's double standard in dealing with criminals, despite its own intelligence assessment that Khashoggi was killed and his body dismembered at the behest of bin Salman in the Saudi consulate in Istanbul in 2018. The UN has reacted to the CIA report, saying the U.S. fails to take practical steps to hold the main culprit accountable.
With the release of the U.S. report confirming Saudi officials' culpability at the highest levels, the United States should now take the lead in ensuring accountability for this crime and for setting in place the international mechanisms to prevent and punish such acts in the future. The United States government should impose sanctions against the Crown Prince as it has done for the other perpetrators, targeting his personal assets but also his international engagements.
Reactions are also pouring in from other authorities and legal experts who have dismissed the U.S. report as too little, too late.
This is not enough. The Crown Prince needs to face accountability. He needs to face sanctions, asset freezes, travel bans.
Analysts are also criticizing the White House for failing to take the Saudi Crown Prince to account.
Nobody saw the actual report until now. And yes, it's confirmed that indeed, as the Saudis say, a rogue operative was responsible. And that rogue is bin Salman himself.
Many believe Washington's failure to hold bin Salman accountable is due to its interests. Even the U.S. itself has admitted that it is seeking its own interests in maintaining a close partnership with Riyadh.
I would say the relationship with Saudi Arabia is an important one. We have significant ongoing interests. We remain committed to the defense of the kingdom. And so what we've done by the actions that we've taken is really not to rupture the relationship, but to recalibrate it.
In fact, decades-old U.S.-Saudi nexus have benefited the both, with Riyadh spending its petrodollars for American arms and Washington hatching plots to destabilize the region for its own sake. The U.S. backing for the Saudi regime's deadly mayhem in Yemen over the past 5 years is part of such plots. If the new U.S. administration claims that it really wants to break with the policies of the Trump government, it should walk the walk rather than talk the talk and stop supporting the al-Saud regime that has a long history of malign disregard for not only its own citizens like Khashoggi, but even the impoverished people like Yemenis.
The racial disparities in who gets a dose of the desperately wanted coronavirus vaccine continues to roil the United States. African Americans compose 12% of the U.S. population, yet they have only received 5% of the vaccines. 60% of America is white, and they have gotten 60% of the vaccines. The mainstream media is repeatedly blaming the problem on African Americans by emphasizing their mistrust of the federal government due to a shocking national history of medical experimentation on black communities. However, the small share of whites and blacks who say they refuse to ever get vaccinated is the same, 14%. Multiple studies point to a simpler explanation. Vaccines are overwhelmingly being sent to white neighborhoods. In the United States, vaccines are being issued at places like pharmacies, clinics, and hospitals. But perpetual underinvestment in lower class and non-white areas means many black communities simply don't have this medical infrastructure. Similarly, African American and poor neighborhoods don't have adequate schools, roads, businesses, work opportunities, and many other basic requirements for healthy living. Since almost the start of the pandemic, it's been clear that non-whites are drastically overrepresented in the so-called essential worker occupations, and that non-whites are four times more likely to be hospitalized by corona and three times more likely to die from it.
And then we also have a lot of our Southside hospitals that are closing and can't meet the demand if they were to get the shipments. They don't have anywhere to store them. So that's another reason. A lot of our clinics are being closed in the inner communities. It's time to get the boots on the ground. It's time to show faith by coming into the black communities, setting up pop-up shops for vaccines.
Latino Americans are getting only 11% of vaccines, despite being 18% of the population. The failure to equally share coronavirus vaccines with all classes is expected to further exacerbate the nation's long-standing socioeconomic inequalities, which the pandemic continues to reveal. Ramin Mazahiri, Chicago.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 41 meters, 7,300 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you. In the limelight.
In just a matter of weeks, two variants of the coronavirus have become so familiar that you can hear their inscrutable alphanumeric names regularly uttered on television news. The B117, first identified in Britain, has demonstrated the power to spread far and fast. In South Africa, a mutant called B1351 can dodge human antibodies, blunting the effectiveness of some vaccines. The article you're about to hear has been written by the New York Times journalist Carl Zimmer. The piece is titled, "Virus Variant in Brazil Infected Many Who Had Already Recovered from COVID-19. Stay with us for more of Carl Zimmer's article. In just a matter of weeks, two variants of the coronavirus have become so familiar that you can hear their inscrutable alphanumeric names regularly uttered on television news. The B117, first identified in Britain, has demonstrated the power to spread far and fast. In South Africa, a mutant called B1351 can dodge human antibodies, blunting the effectiveness of some vaccines. Scientists have also had their eye on a third concerning variant that arose in Brazil, called the P1. Research has been slower on P1 since its discovery in late December, leaving scientists unsure of just how much to worry about it. "I've been holding my breath," said Bronwyn McInnes, an epidemiologist at the Broad Institute. Now, three studies offer a sobering history of P1's meteoric rise in the Amazonian city of Manaus in Brazil. It likely arose there in November and then fueled a record-breaking spike of coronavirus cases. It came to dominate the city due in part to an increased contagiousness, the research found. But it also gained the ability to infect some people who had immunity from previous bouts of COVID-19. And laboratory experiments suggest that P1 could weaken the protective effect of a Chinese vaccine now in use in Brazil. The new studies have yet to be published in scientific journals. Their authors caution that findings on cells in laboratories do not always translate into the real world, and they've only begun to understand P1's behavior. The findings apply to Manaus in Brazil, but I don't know if they apply to other places, said Nuno Faria, a virologist at Imperial College, University of London, who helped lead much of the new research. But even with the mysteries that remain around P1, experts say it is a variant to take seriously. "It's right to be worried about P1, and this data gives us the reason why," said William Hanage, an epidemiologist at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. P1 is now spreading across the rest of Brazil and has been found in 24 other countries. In the United States, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, has recorded 6 cases in 5 states, namely Alaska, Florida, Maryland, Minnesota, and Oklahoma. To reduce the risk of P1 outbreaks and reinfections, Dr. Faria says, "It was important to double down on every measure we have to slow the spread of the coronavirus. Wearing face masks and social distancing can work against P1, and vaccination can help drive down its transmission and protect those who do not infect or who do get infected from severe disease. The ultimate message is that you need to step up all the vaccination efforts as soon as possible," he said. "You need to be one step ahead of the virus." Dr. Nuno Faria and his colleagues started tracking the coronavirus when it exploded in Brazil last spring. Manaus, a city of 2 million people in the Brazilian Amazon, was hit particularly hard. At its springtime peak, the cemeteries of Manaus were overwhelmed by the bodies of the dead. But after a peak in late April, Manaus seemed to have gotten past the worst of the pandemic. Some scientists thought that the drop meant Manaus had gained herd immunity. Dr. Faria and his colleagues looked for coronavirus antibodies in samples from a Manaus blood bank in June and October. They determined that roughly three-quarters of the residents of the city of Manaus had been infected. But near the end of 2020, new cases began surging again in Manaus. There were actually far more cases than in the previous peak of cases, which had been in late April, Dr. Faria said. And that was very puzzling to us. Dr. Faria and his colleagues wondered if new variants might be partly to blame for the resurgence. In Britain, researchers were finding that the B117 was surging across the country. To search for variants of the coronavirus, Dr. Faria and his colleagues launched a new genome sequencing effort in the city. Whilst the B117 had arrived in other parts of Brazil, they didn't find it in the city of Manaus. Instead, they found a variant no one had seen before. Many variants in their samples shared a set of 21 mutations not seen in other viruses circulating in Brazil. Dr. Faria sent a text message to a colleague. "I think I'm looking at something really strange, and I'm quite worried about this." A few mutations in particular worried him, because scientists had already found these mutations in either the B117 or the B1351, the South African variant. Experiments suggested that some of the mutations might make the variants better able to infect cells. Other mutations let them evade antibodies from previous infections or produced by vaccines. As Dr. Faria and his colleagues analyzed their results, researchers in Japan were making a similar discovery. Four tourists returning home from a trip to the Amazon on 4th of January tested positive for the coronavirus. Genome sequencing revealed the same set of mutations Dr. Faria and his colleagues were seeing in Brazil. Dr. Faria and his colleagues posted a description of P1 on an online virology forum on 12th of January. They then investigated why P1 was so common. Its mutations may have made it more contagious, or it might have been lucky. By sheer chance, the variant might have shown up in Manaus, just as the city was getting more relaxed about public health measures. It was also possible that P1 became common because it could reinfect people. Normally, coronavirus reinfections are rare because the antibodies produced by the body after infection are potent for months. But it was possible that P1 carried mutations that made it harder for those antibodies to latch onto it, allowing it to slip into human cells and cause new infections. The researchers tested these possibilities by tracking P1 from its earliest samples in December. By early January, it made up 87% of samples. By February, it had taken over completely. Combining the data from genomes, antibodies, and medical records in Manaus, the researchers concluded that P1 conquered the city thanks not to luck, but to biology. Its mutations helped it spread. Like the B117 variant, it can infect more people on average than other variants can. They estimate it is somewhere between 1.4 and 2.2 times more transmissible than other lineages of the coronavirus. But it also gets an edge from mutations that let it escape antibodies from other coronaviruses. They estimate that in 100 people who were infected in Manaus last year, somewhere between 25 and 61 of them may have been reinfected by the P1 variant. The researchers found support for this conclusion in an experiment in which they mixed P1 viruses with antibodies from Brazilians who had COVID-19 last year. They found that the effectiveness of their antibodies dropped sixfold against P1 compared with other coronaviruses. That drop might mean that at least some people would be vulnerable to new infections from P1. There seems to be an increasing body of evidence that suggests that most of the cases associated with the second wave are indeed sort of reinfections, Dr. Faria said. Dr. Faria and other researchers are now looking across Brazil to observe P1 spread. Dr. Esther Sabino, an infectious disease expert at the University of Sao Paulo School of Medicine, said that one of the new outbreaks arose in Araraquara, a Brazilian city of 223,000 people, which did not have high rates of COVID-19 before P1's arrival. If people in Araraquara did not have high levels of antibodies before P1's arrival, she said, that suggests that the variant may be able to spread in places without Manaus's extreme history. This might happen in any other place, she said. Michael Worobe, a virologist at the University of Arizona in the United States, who was not involved in the research, said it was time to pay attention to P1 in the United States. Worobe expected it would become more common in the United States, although it would have to compete with the B117 variant, which may soon become the predominant variant in much of the nation. At the very least, it's going to be one of the contenders, Dr. Worobe said. In their experiments, Dr. Faria and his colleagues also tested antibodies from 8 people who received Coronavac, a Chinese-made vaccine that has been used in Brazil. They found that the vaccine-generated antibodies were less effective at stopping the P1 variant than other types. Dr. Faria cautioned that these results derived from cells in test tubes don't necessarily mean that vaccines will be less effective at protecting real people from the P1 variant. Vaccines may very well provide strong protection from P1 even if the antibodies they generate aren't quite as potent. And even if the variant manages to infect vaccinated people, they will likely remain shielded from a severe bout of COVID-19. For Dr. Sabino, the ultimate importance of P1 variant is the threat that concerning variants pose, that they can pop up anywhere in the world. It's just a matter of time and chance, she said.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. I'm so glad to welcome you to your own program, A Muslim Lady from IRIB English Radio. I'm 100% sure, you know, the way I'm welcoming you, you must know that I'm having in my company my very respectful husband, Mr. Masumi, and I'm Razia Batul Najafi. Salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. It's always a pleasure and honor for me to be here and to share the knowledge of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam with our dear listeners.
Alhamdulillah. So our topic about Risalatul Huquq, Treaties of Rights, the book of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, that is our topic. And we are discussing about the rights of wife. And this is very unique. You know, like Usually, we don't go, we don't study, we don't ponder, you know, what kind of treasure our Imam has left for us. And I know on the day of judgment, this sentence and these beautiful messages of Imam will intercede us. You know, this is the source of shafa'ah, the way Quran can do shafa'at and intercession. You know, because the wordings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, they are also tafsir and interpretation of Quran.
Yeah.
So let's start this amazing ibadah.
Yeah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept all the sources of Jannat and the sources of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our house, within our house. And unfortunately, we look for it, you know, in different things. We don't know how important is our house.
Yeah,
our
you just
wife,
open
our
up.
Children.
Yeah.
You know, our parents. If we focus and we implement and we act upon all their rights, then definitely it can guide, it can give you the irfan. Nowadays, unfortunately, people are looking for irfan. They think that irfan is a knowledge. They have to go to institutes and teachers. They have to learn from them to reach to the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they don't know all the irfan, all the ma'rifah, all the sources of, you know, nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lie in your house,
Mashallah.
Within your house,
Mashallah.
In your wife,
Amazing.
In your husband, in your children, in your parents.
So you open up the doors of paradise, you know, mainly
from your house.
Exactly, from your house. You know, you open up for us. You know, like usually we just find outside mostly. We have to learn from ulama, scholars, experts.
Yeah.
But the main learning and practicing should be in our house. And you know why? Because if everyone is just focusing on training and uplifting their relationship, you know, whatever Allah Ta'ala is asking from us, if we just fix our relationship, and if we are having a beautiful relationship in our house, respectfully, then society will fix automatically. You know, then you don't need to give so many, for example, speeches or, you know, like so much troubles are not there to fix in the society. So you are helping the society by helping your family members.
Definitely. If you have a very peaceful and very happy family members, then, you know, society contains the family members. You know, if you have the peace, inner peace and physically peace and spiritually peace at your home with your children, with your wife, with your husband, then definitely in the society you can become a happy person. You know, a healthy part of your society, a healthy member of your society, and definitely you will have a nice and healthy society, happy society also. So we were talking about the rights of a wife, and in the rights of wife, Imam mentioned that you have to respect your wife. And we were discussing how we can respect your wife at home, you know, and husband. In previous episode, as you mentioned, we discussed two very important factors. One is doing salam to each other, which increases respect of each other. And the second, we were discussing welcoming each other or seeing off each other. For example, if your wife is going somewhere, you have to see off. And if your wife is coming from anywhere, you can welcome her. Vice versa, wife should also welcome her husband.
But nowadays, both of them, they are so tired, you know. And we are coming, going so many times. And the timings are unfortunate. Therefore, there is no peace. Yeah, there is no joy. There's so much money.
If we utilize these things, these rules and these principles, they will, you know, take this fatigue from us away. and they will become the source of peace.
Not hoteling, not shopping, not movie watching, you know. We want to take only peace from those sources. Those things should be on the side.
Those things are part of our peace. Husband and wife, they are happy, they have peaceful life. They can enjoy their life by dining out and going to the beaches or going to the shopping centers. That also brings peace. But we are talking about, you know, within your family, within your house, how we can increase respect to each other, how can we get peace and tranquility.
So, when you said that we have to, you know, as a husband and wife, welcome each other, so what it shows, welcoming, like sometimes you say, you know, I will open the door, I'll come myself. There's no need to come someone to welcome each and every single day.
Yeah.
So
it shows the respect, like in official in one president of one country visits another country, how they give importance. You know, they welcome officially the president himself goes, or he sends a very, very important person to welcome them.
They never say, come directly to the office, we are having meeting. You know, no one comes to the airport to welcome them. Yeah, definitely.
So lot of formality.
So this is the sign of respect.
Respect, number one. And number two, the person who is being welcomed feels, you know, very sincere. He feels that he is a very, very important in the eyes of, you know, his wife or her husband. And secondly, they feel very, very close to each other. They feel like each of them is part of each other, you know, by welcoming.
Yeah.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
And one more point which I really want to add is that this is the source of gratitude that, oh, alhamdulillah,
definitely,
my wife is back, you know, safe and sound. And alhamdulillah, my husband is at home, you know. So you are just thankful to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And one more very, very essential point, you know, we have literally a hadith about how to welcome, you know, importance of welcoming husband and wife. You know why? Because our Prophet, he knows our psychology. Like, if you are, as a husband, welcoming me, that means you are truly, eagerly waiting for me.
Yeah.
So waiting, you know, like you are feeling my presence. You know, you are missing me out. So when someone misses someone, so that person is waiting. You know, why you are away from me? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have so many ahadith about it, that how much he used to emphasize that, you know, that the spouses, they should welcome each other. So as a psychologist, even psychologists, they say that if someone comes, if you show that, oh, you are there, you know, like in socializing, in PR and, you know, public relationship, the psychologists say, if you remember the name of that person, you know, in society, if you say, oh, Mr. Farman, you are here, that person will feel so much, you know, important. Like you say, wow, he knows my name, you know. The same we hear in the family, we know each other's names. But if we show, like how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once he was sitting all alone inside the masjid, inside the mosque, and a person enters, and our Prophet, he moves, you know, he gives space, he says, come and sit here. So that person was shocked. He said, Ya Rasulullah, you know, whole masjid is empty. I could sit anywhere. So why you are just bothering, you know? You have to be, you know, you should negligent, like, okay, I have come and I have gone, you know. But he said, this is the haq, the right of a Muslim, upon other Muslim. So what about the right of spouses? Is more than, you know, ordinary people. So therefore, when you are showing that you have come and I was waiting for you, that person will feel amazing.
And also the most important thing in this relationship is the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you welcome me or I welcome you, and when we make each other happy, this happiness, you know, connects us towards the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the very, very important, the most
essential
important
and core of the message. Beautiful.
So Rida Allah, the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we get the Rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we do not need anything else. You know? So we can say the all the sources of happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are found in our family and in our house.
Exactly.
So in this dunya also we can make our house a jannat.
Therefore, all of us, they say, you know, don't wait for paradise, you know. Just make it here. If you're closer to Allah, that is jannat. If you're far away from Allah, that is jahannam. That's it. You know, that's as simple as it is.
If you have the kindness, if you compromise each other's mistakes, if you have respect to each other, so what else you are looking for? You know, you get the tranquility and peace and spiritual, you know, utmost peace in your life. There are so many other things which leads to the respecting each other, you know. So we mentioned by doing salam, we increase to the respect of each other. We can respect each other by doing welcome. And by seeing off each other from house, we can get the respect. And if we give, as you mentioned, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was always, he used to give space to each other. This also increases the respect. If I'm sitting in some place in our house, if you come, if I stand and give space for you, then this will increase the respect and love between husband and wife.
So somehow it's showing that how you have to express. You know, we are not expressing. Sometimes we have love for each other, but that is inside us.
This is another beautiful topic we can discuss, you know, so many minutes and hours respecting each other and showing and expressing our love to each other.
I remember Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh, the way he used to get up as a respect to his wife. His wife's name was Khadija. You know, I remember, like, sometimes whenever I study his beautiful life history, I say, Ya Allah, you know, like, we sometimes we don't show that much respect to our mothers. But look at the, you know, because he is the student of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. You know, if we truly follow the footsteps of our fourth Imam in this beautiful book where he said about Haqqu Zawja, the rights of a wife, then the life will totally change. And I think we have to announce, we have to publicize this rights of wife in the world, that look what kind of respect Imam is giving to a Muslim lady. I'm sure my listeners, you can feel my feelings of pleasure from this amazing discussions which we had about the sayings of Imam Sajjad. And we hope, inshallah, that we have conveyed our message to our amazing, respectful listeners. Inshallah, we are going to meet very soon. Until that time, fi amanillah.
My Lord, show me right from wrong. Give me light, make me strong. I know the road is long. Make me strong. Sometimes it just gets too much. I feel that I've lost touch. I know the road is long. Make me strong.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.